Father, we thank you again for this day, and we're hungry and thirsty to grow in righteousness. And we are seeking you. We're seeking truth. We know you. We walk with you. And Holy Spirit, you're the greatest teacher and the best teacher and our only teacher. And we acknowledge that now. And I thank you that you'll speak to each one of us, because these are the days to rise up and to walk in your glory. And so we give you honor and praise and glory. Amen. I came home from the trip from Oregon, and I want to just say that one of the coolest things for Lisa and I being out in Oregon was just the flowers. They were just in the growth, and it's just beautiful. Even the sea creatures are beautiful, and the birds, but it just everywhere we went, they just seemed like the flowers are gigantic and really flourishing. I don't know. It must, you know, they must have some really good people out there, but I came back home, and it's beautiful flying to Rapid City when it's green, and then got back to our house, and our garden's a little sacrificed this year. I tore it all up and tried to rebuild pods, and then we're behind with working on the church, and so a lot of things didn't get planted, and you know, I don't even know if we'll get some of them to get a produce, but anyway, I came back and it was looking pretty good, and I got pears. Just every tree's got pears this year and there. I was thinking we needed to prune them, and Lisa said, I'll just let them get smaller. I don't know. I'm afraid we're going to break some branches. They're getting so heavy on there. I probably should have picked some of them off. It's hard to pick. It's hard to prune. It's hard to pull a good pair off and say, well, we're going to ditch you so the other ones can live better and all that. But it's important. But I just want to share one thing. I got this two pear trees within 16 feet of each other. And I don't know when I planted them, but it's been like about 15 years, 10 years. And one of them is about this size and goes up to the ceiling and is just full. And the other one is about this high. And about, you know, one big one that's probably almost 6 inches at the bottom. The other one is maybe, you know, 2 or 3 inches. The interesting thing was I planted the small one first. It had several years of growth on it before I planted the other one. And they're only 16 feet apart. But the soil is totally different where that little one is. Now, it's got some pears on it, but it's not very big, and they're not, and it just doesn't, the soil makes a lot of difference. In that particular little place, it's got a lot of bentonite in it or whatever else. I've tried to fertilize it, do all those things, and it's still living, but it's not near the production. And when you look at people's lives sometimes, and believers, sometimes you'll see, you know, somebody comes and hears the word, hears about Jesus, and all of a sudden they just get transformed. Their whole life changed. They come out of darkness. They come out of a lot of sin or whatever else, and they just start flourishing. And, you know, when we get some of those in here, we got some people in here that some of you might not know, but they just sit calmly in their seat and do a great job. But they were in darkness years ago. I won't look at you because I don't want anybody to catch the icon. But you can talk to each other, and we've got some people that are notoriously bad people and did about everything in the book. But then they heard the word, and they got saved, and they transformed. And today people wouldn't even dream that they were the people that they used to be. And then you got others, you know, that sit in the same, you know, in the same place, hear the same word all over the world. People hear the word, and some just don't produce much. Just like my pear tree. They're alive. There's a few pears on it. But it's not flourishing like the other one. What's the difference? And again, it comes down to one thing. The soil. The seed is going to produce. There's other factors. But for the most part, it's going to be the quality of the soil. So you can't get a harvest without... A harvest requires planting. And sometimes when we were behind on the garden, so I just threw some radish seeds in. I usually plant them early when it's cool and all that. And I just threw some in a new place and just, whatever we get, you know. I had the package around for too many years anyway. It's a cheap thing, you know. You know, actually, the seeds are cheap. And so I just threw them in there. And the other day, anyway, they start growing and they got big, and then they start, in my opinion, they look like they weren't going to come out like little, you know, they just were just a whole lot of top and not bottom and all that. And I started pulling them out and just throwing away, and I left a bunch. And then the other day I went out there and I said, well, boy, that looks like there might be a radish on that one. And I start pulling them up, and they're the biggest radishes I've ever had. Just gigantic. So I thought, well, they're going to be just bad, woody and all that. I pull them to them. They're good. And I thought, you know, just that simple thing, you can't get a harvest unless you plant. You can't get a crop if you don't sow. And the same thing is, you know, in life, you can't get a birth without conception. It's the same thing. The seed goes into the soil and produces a harvest. The seed goes into a womb and produces a being. And there's just these laws that we're never going to break, and they work all the time, and they work for anybody. You know, sometimes people say, well, that guy's not a Christian, but he's doing better. Well, absolutely. If he's walking in the truth of the kingdom, he's going to get a harvest. He's going to get a crop. He's going to do better. There's a lot of those things that take place whether you know and walk with God or not. It's just whether you walk in his principles or not. Obviously, the outcome of your life, it's a shame just to have a good crop down here and then not become a child of God. That'd be, to me, that's disastrous. And another thing is just change. If you want change in your life, it requires change. It's so funny. One guy came to a guy that was teaching on prosperity, and he was just, you know, and the guy said, what would you like? He said, I'd like a raise. I'd like to make more income. And so he did some things, had him confess some things and speak him, had him get a mindset of seeing it, believing that he was going to get a raise. And he put those things to practice, and in about a few weeks, he got fired. And he goes, what? And he was all discouraged and all that. I called up the guy, and he just said, did you do what I told you to do? He said, yeah. Well, then rejoice. And he said, why should I rejoice? I just lost my job. He says, just wait a couple days and see what happens. And sure enough, he gets a job offer that was way more money and a way better deal. Change doesn't, we want change sometimes, but we want change without change. And change requires repentance. It means a whole change in your mindset. So when you're thinking about our life, right here, we didn't come here to build a big church. We didn't come here to build a big organization all over. We came together this Sunday just to help impact each other's hearts and build a kingdom inside. We're here for us right now. We're here. I'm here to help you, and you're here to help me for us to get a better harvest in each one of our hearts. So as we look at that, let's just consider, the parable of the sower. It's in Mark 4, it's in Luke 8, and it's in Matthew 13. It's one of my favorite things, probably one of the things that, like David on a slingshot, I've probably spent more time in these scriptures than any other scriptures. But I will say this, that how precious it is to come and see the green grass. I mean, everybody's commenting on it. I don't mind commenting on it. It's just, we got new bikers staying at my sister's house, and they're up on the deck, and I went up there, just thought I'd be friendly, end up having about an hour, 2 hour conversation with them. But they were just saying it's beautiful. They live in Maine, so they know what beauty is like. But it's just like, and I will say this though, when the grass is not green or there is no grass, it's not very pretty. When there are no flowers, man, in Oregon, all those flowers is just gorgeous. When there are no flowers, when there are no trees, you think about this. In our life right now, all the grass is brown and all the trees are dead, it's not a very pretty place. It's not even that fun. It doesn't produce energy inside of you. And I just want to bring that out because, there's a certain beauty in deserts, but even they get to flourish if it gets some rain. But in general terms, it's nice to see color, isn't it? It's nice to smell roses, and it just does a lot for your soul. And in some ways, it's like, why in the world be here? When I first went into Ukraine after the communist walls came down, and in Poland. The thing that impacted my emotions so much was that there was no color and there was no life. And the buildings were all cement and they're all gray and there's not even road signs and there's nothing to tell you what's going on. And it's, I mean, it impacts you of what it's like, the difference, you know. And I forgive me, but people that think that socialism and communism is a great thing really need to go to a nation that's been living that way for a while. It is not beautiful. It is not colorful. It does not produce life. It is not energizing. It is not pretty at all. Now let's compare that to a life in a spiritual realm when somebody's not sowing the word into their heart. As the ground produces in this natural realm, in the spiritual realm, that's a lot of it's not seen, it is the word in the heart that produces. And that's what and Jesus taught on these parables. He said, you know, the sower sows the word, and he sows it into the heart, sows it into the dirt, and it produces. Again, who doesn't like a great miracle? They're awesome. But the bulk of our life, I wouldn't try to put a percentage to it, the bulk of your life won't be great because of miracles. It'll be great because of the harvest of your heart. Daily sowing, daily reaping, daily taking care of it. As I came back, you know, we have a grapevine underneath our deck, and I think grapevines are cool. I think vines are cool. I think grapes are cool. But for some reason, I don't know. I take no credit. I am not a farmer. I am a farmer. But it's like, not a genius. I'm the farmer like Jesus talked about. The farmer plants a seed, goes to bed, gets up, don't worry about it, and somehow it produces a crop. That's me. Don't know always how it works. I think it's intriguing how it works, but it's like, you know, I don't claim to be this incredible mind, and people study all this, and I think it's really great, but somehow I just want to stay ignorant in a way. It's like I just want to be the dumb farmer who puts a seed in the ground and waters it, and it grows, and I just think it's just cool. It's just really, really cool. You know, and you just pick a fruit, and you start eating it, it's just like, yeah, this is just awesome. And the same way in my pastoring, I'm not really always trying to be the guy that's bringing all the miracles and bringing all the power of God and a demonstration. I mean, we've done it, we do it, we'll do it some more. But the bulk of our life is just sowing the word of God in our hearts and having a great harvest. And I'd rather have that great, that bigger pear tree than that little one. But I feel sorry for the little one. I kind of got a heart. I don't cut it down because I planted it in some really lousy dirt. And so I'm going to try to increase the dirt level of, you know, all that. But I just think how wise it is to keep planting in our lives and keep harvesting. And there is no retirement here. There is no time where you just camp out and you don't plant anymore. So I want to share a few scriptures with you. And one of them is out of Hebrews, the 12th or 2nd chapter. It says this: "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." There is a real possibility, battle here of being saved, having the Spirit of God in your life, and hearing the Word of God, but not focused on it and just drifting away from it. Just drifting away. Each and every one of us has this opportunity to drift away. And the thing about drifting away that gets me is it's not a slap in the face and shocks you. It's like I was down in Texas where was I? I nearly died. Anyway, I'm out in the ocean, I guess I'll say that. And I'm out there, and I'm not a swimmer, but I can float. I shouldn't be so scared of the water because I really float really good. I must have a good fat. But I was just out there floating, and all of a sudden I just realized I couldn't hardly see the shore. And I go, I was just a few feet away from that when I started. And I looked, and so I started paddling back, and I just was going, and I wasn't going anywhere. And finally I go, I think I might be, I might need some help here. So I yell out, and my son Nathan and another guy named John, a young man that was interesting, I had just chewed him out. I don't chew out too many people, but we took this John down to Mexico to do ministry, and one thing I said is, do not get in a relationship with any of the girls down here. Do not do any of that. Don't do it. Well, by the time we left, he had some girl thinking she was going to marry him. And they couldn't even talk to each other, but somehow they were going to get married. Oh, I was upset. I pounded on him. Man, even the missionary, he just lightened up, John. I just, so anyway, I call for my son and John, and they bail out, and they come and grab me. So I'm just going to play the dumb, I'll just sit here and float, don't fight them, whatever else. I thought, a piece of cake, And so it took a while, but we finally get to shore. And my son's a good swimmer, and John's a good swimmer, and they both, when we got to shore, said, whoo, we didn't think we were going to make it. I said, what'd you just say? And it was one of those times when I was not panicky, but maybe I should have been. But I said, what do you mean? I said, man, Dad, you got in a riptide. And it was sucking you out to the ocean. And we had to do everything we could to get out of that. And then they figured out how to go sideways and got out. What I'm saying about that is, I tell you, when you're drifting away, you just might not know it at all. It's no slap in the face. There's nobody waking you up. There's nobody yelling at you or nothing. All of a sudden, you find yourself out there where you don't want to be and having a hard time figuring out how to get back home. And the writer of Hebrews says, man, we need to stay focused and stay attentive. Let me read you another scripture. This is one the Lord gave me when I was in Bible college, specifically for me. And it's 1 Timothy 4. It says this. It says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed with them so that your progress may be evident to all. By the way, I went down to Harley-Davidson, and we took a tour there. Greg Johnson was here. I'm telling you, there are some people who take pains and are absorbed with motorcycles. My goodness, what you can put on and build and add, and I mean, it's like, whoa, it is unlimited at what you can do. Wow. And Paul here is saying, take pains and be absorbed. Get consumed with this so that your progress may be evident to all. Then verse 16 is one that really means something to me. Pay close attention to yourself. And the Lord spoke to me on this in 1974 as Bible College in Haviland, Kansas. And he said, John, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching or the things that you believe. Persevere in these things, for as you do, this will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And this set a course in my life of paying close attention to me. And let me just say that some of my friends in the ministry early in those days didn't do this. They paid more attention to their ministry and to how others were responding to them than to themselves. They were more concerned about their success in the natural realm of being recognized or whatever, and rather than paying close attention to themselves. But God said to me, he said, you pay close attention. In other words, whenever I hear the word and I preach it, I tell you, there isn't any time I preach it, I don't go home and just say, I need to work on this. Because whether anybody else gets it or not, that's their life. But my life will only be governed by what I plant in my heart, not by how many people get touched by my ministry. And this is a big deal. It's not how big your bank account is, not how successful, not how all the awards you get here on earth. It's nice to get honored and all that. But I tell you, if you're around me very long, right now, I'm not very jazzed up about the honors that we give to each other and the trophies that we give each other. I don't mind a good T-shirt. If you win volleyball, it's nice to have something to because I need a lot of t-shirts. I get a lot of high aluminum. You know, I get them dirty real fast. So, but other than that, that just doesn't mean much. But my life, what happens in my life? And so pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, and this will ensure salvation not only for those who hear you, and of course, I didn't know then I was going to be a pastor, but I knew I was going to speak in a lot of people's lives. That's an important thing. The Word of God goes into our hearts, Mark 4 says, and produces. Now, when you think about a word, you know, I don't know what you think about. Everybody said, we're on the Word. We're on the Word. What word are you talking about? And I'm not critical here, just saying take pains with these things, get absorbed with these things. But when we speak the name of Jesus, let me say this. When you speak the name of Jesus, the power is going to be what you put on that name, how you perceive that name. It's not a hocus-pocus name. It's not a magical name. Name just describes as the nature of something. So if I say, you know, to a dog, you know, say, you know, if I say dog, you know, what are you picturing? Stop for a moment. I'm just going to say dog. I want you to picture a dog. Then I say big dog. Did you have to change your picture? If I say black dog, did you have to change it again? Big black dog with big smile. Broken tail. One paw missing. How's your dog changing? Goes by the name of Lucky. So when the Bible, when Jesus said the word goes into your heart, it's not just a scripture, what it is, but it's like, what is the image? The words that we use describe something. So it's an image. It's a nature. It's a feeling. The Bible says your heart is a seat of your feelings. So when you plant something into your heart, it's not just a simple word. It's a word that describes something. It gives an image of something. And it is an image, and it is a feeling. I tell you what, if you don't feel love, you have not received love. You can't have a baby unless you get a conception. The Word of God has to conceive in your heart. You can throw a lot of, Jesus says, you can throw a lot of seeds out there, and some are just going to get eaten up, and some are going to just grow for a little bit. And then I'm just throwing it out there. I'm throwing a lot of stuff out here. But when Jesus said, you know, it's only for a short time, it's because they get offended. Do you realize every time you allow yourself to be offended, justified or unjustified, to be offended, it means to stumble over, to get hung up on something. Every time you get hung up on something, well, they just cut me off. And you get offended, it sucks the Word of God out of your heart. I fight like tooth and toenail to not be offended. People will say to me, oh, I didn't mean to offend you. And I'll just say it deliberately, you can't offend me. And sometimes they look at me like, what are you so upset about? I got to do this for my sake. I got to do this constantly for my sake. I will refuse to get offended. Why? Because being offended will cause the Word of God in my heart to be jerked out by Satan. Has nothing to do with whether it's justified or not. It has nothing to do if somebody really did you wrong or not. It could be your imagination, or it could be a real deal. But if you get offended, you've just damaged your crop big time. I hope that helps somebody. If you have never heard that before, take some time on this. But I'm telling you, if you ever say, well, it really offended me when you, boy, I don't cuss a lot. I didn't cuss hardly at all until I started pastoring. But I'd rather cuss. I'd rather get vulgar than to say I'm offended. I'm not going to go there long, but some of you need to hear this, and you need to really take some time and take some pains in it. If you're one of those people that says, boy, that sure offended me, you need to take a serious look at that, because you are ripping up your garden. and you may feel so justified, but I'm telling you, it pay attention to yourself, and don't get offended. Hallelujah. So we're back here. These words come into our hearts. So what kind of words do what kind of harvest do you want in your life? What kind of, you know, in the kingdom of darkness, you can be very successful. You can learn those principles. But you get saved, you came into the kingdom of light. You got to learn those principles. And they work both in the spiritual realm, the soul realm, and the natural realm. They work in prosperity. They work in healing. They work in everything. Every part of your life, the word of God can bring a harvest of victory. Pay close attention to yourself. Don't think you're selfish about that. Pay close attention to what's going on in your heart, because it will be bringing out. You know, to wait 15 years, you know, for a crop. I mean, I planted apricot trees way long time ago, and I've never seen an apricot on them. They make beautiful blossoms, but I've never seen it. And this year, there was apricots on my trees. They didn't make it to fruition, but I'm just saying, you can wait a long time for a harvest. But listen, if you don't plant, you won't get one. If you say, I don't want to wait 15 years, man, in my early days, I was an impulsive child. I mean, I'm not anymore. Sometimes I want to say to people, boy, you're impatient. Boy, you're impatient. Man, they just want results right now. If you work with them, they just want to do work right now. And I used to be that way. I'm not that way anymore. And it just drives me crazy sometimes. Like, oh, man, would you just stop that? Life is a process. Don't be in such a hurry. Stop waiting for the big miracle to set you. Just start sowing into your life and give it time. And I tell you, 15, 20 years later, when you got a big old tree that's all full of fruit, it's like, it was worth it all. Because it just keeps on growing now. It keeps on producing forever. Need to tell yourself you're a patient person, by the way. The rally's perfect for being aware of this. I'm going to take the back roads and all that. And I do. I take the back roads. And I do that. But sometimes I'll go right through the guts of the whole thing just to say, I'm a patient guy. I can wait my turn. I can give them first place. I let people cut into me forever. I thought, well, I guess I got to get home. I finally took my rightful place. You may laugh and joke or whatever else, but I'm telling you, watch over your heart, because out of it produces all the issues of life. And let your heart be patient. Let it wait for the crop. Because if you're not, you're not going to be consistent in planting. So one of the things that you can plant in here, one of the things I'm saying to the Lord is, I said I wasn't going to confess my sins today. So we'll skip that part. But as he is, you are like him. When you see his when you plant his nature in your heart, when you see that God is loving, that seed, that word will come into your heart, and he'll start producing. When you see that he's good, when you see that he's loving, that you see that he is kind, when you see that, when you see him, and you can see that word into your heart, you actually let it come into your heart, you see it with your eyes, you hear it with your ears, and you take it in, and then that starts producing. What does it produce? Itself. You'll start being a loving and kind person. It will come out of you. It'll come out of your heart when you don't even say anything. I've been around so many people, you know, here, even lately with some of these bikers, and within a few minutes, I'm just sitting there asking them how they're doing, asking how it's going, you know, listening to them, and all of a sudden they start saying things like, you really have an impact on people, don't you? Oh, I don't know. What do you say that for? Because there's something coming out of the heart. It's unseen in these eyes, but they can feel it. And so as you see him, you're like him. So pay attention to yourself. And I think it's in Luke 8, it says, Luke 8:18. So take care how you listen, for whoever has to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. So take care how you listen. What's that mean? I mean, you can listen just where you hear the stuff, and it doesn't, you don't let it take root, you don't meditate on it, you don't take time to think about it. It's just, well, you know, there are people just hear a good word, and they get no crop because they don't let it come into their heart. They don't take time to really bear down on it and let it take root and let it take action in your life and produce something. And so my life right now, one of the things I got to sow in is I keep looking at my Jesus and see that he's joyful. I'm not sure why this has been such a battle for me. I was a goofy kid. I was a class clown. I was all that kind of stuff. But when I got really serious about God, I got so serious, everything was serious. And I have to look at Jesus all the time and saw that he was more joyful than all of his companions. It's just that God is actually joyful, that he's not tense, he's not irritable. I don't listen to a lot of preachers, but every once in a while on Facebook and stuff, they'll pop up. And I can't believe how many preachers are out there preaching mean and mad. I'm telling you how upset God is with everybody. God is fed up with this. He's not going to put up with this anymore in America. I don't know where they're getting their word. But that's, man, be careful how you listen. Because a whole lot of righteous people that are saved think their job in life is to be judging everybody and condemning everybody. And it, man, if this is a great week to practice. That's why I'm preaching this. Get out there and just stop being critical of everybody. Why do they drive like that? Why are those idiots? Oh, yeah. And when you shut your mouth and you shut down that, you're going to hear all kinds of people sowing seeds. Man, when you stop being critical, it's amazing how you can hear criticism out of everybody. And all of a sudden it just starts magnifying. It's just like, man, people are upset. Man, people like to condemn. Man, people like to just judge everything. You know, if you want to come into this building and judge it, I'll show you all kinds of things that are wrong here. Oh, man, I've got a punch list. But isn't it nice to just come in and say, it looks and feels great. Hallelujah. It's just fun not to be critical. And then sometimes I think about reaching out to all the people of the world, and it's so easy to be critical, but then I just think, you know, Jesus said this. He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. This is a word that encourages me. You're not going to get rewarded because you sowed into somebody's life that deserved it. You're going to get rewarded because you sowed into somebody's life that totally didn't deserve it and did nothing with it. But you're going to get a reward for that. Pay close attention to yourself. Be careful how you listen to things. Let me just share in the closing. Deuteronomy 28 says this, because you did not serve the Lord God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of things. It's talking about the curses. It's talking about bad things happening to you. And then it says to this, bad things are going to happen to you because you did not serve the Lord God with joy. You may serve him, but not with joy. Psalms 101. I'm just sharing this. This is my personal little ditty. I'm sharing with you how I'm planting seeds in my garden to get a better crop. Psalms 100 says this, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. I have a good friend, Jimmy Bratcher, that knows me well. And he ministers this scripture to me. I haven't done it for a long time. I'm improving. But I'd get grumpy about something, and he goes, serve the Lord with gladness, John. And I go, I'm not really happy right now. Leave me alone. No, I always go, wow, praise God. Keep sowing that into my life. And then Psalm 69 says this, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me. This is just talking about, and here's the point. God will never ask you to do something or be something that he is not. In other words, He doesn't tell you to love people and then he doesn't love them. He doesn't tell you to be kind and then he's not kind. He doesn't tell you to be joyful and he's not joyful. When you, the word that you're taking in is that image and that vision of who he really is. And when you see him joyful and you see him loving, that's the seed that is now conceived in your heart, and it will produce a harvest of itself. And so in areas of your life that you would like to see change in, find the pictures, find the words, find the feelings of the seed that you want to conceive in your heart. And then give it time to grow and water. And pretty soon you're going to have fruit coming out of you, and people say, man, you've really changed. And it wasn't because of a quick little miracle. It was the fact that the kingdom of God is like a man sowing seeds and seeing a harvest. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your truth, and I thank you for life, and I thank you for these people, and I thank you for the opportunity we have while we're here on earth to actually be trained and equipped, become excellent, to take pains with these things, be absorbed in them to the point that it is evident to all, that it's evident to all that we're making great progress. But mostly, Father, my desire is to walk with you the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you move, powerfully, in love, with authority, with confidence, with joy. I know I desire that harvest. And I know we all are planting the good seeds. And I thank you. I thank you. And I thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. Amen. Amen. Well, you got an assignment for this week. Pick one and enjoy it. Pay close attention. Love you. God bless you.